So, I was asked to share about a month ago, and I wasn't too sure about it at first, but figured, well, why not? I figured. So, yeah, so if you don't know who I am, my name is Jesse Fair. I've also, as Pastor Dan said, I've gone to Bible college for the past 2 years. I have grown up in this church my whole life, and yeah, so. I think I'm pretty at home, but if you don't know me, I have been gone for the past 2 years, so that may have contributed to it. So yeah, if you don't know who I am, my parents are Kurt and Shelley Fair. Grandparents are Bill and Ann Jansen on my mom's side. So, like I said, grown up in this church past 2 years, been at Bible college, and I'm hoping to pursue a third year and maybe a fourth year in hopes of pursuing full-time ministry. And what that looks like, I'm not sure yet. We'll see where the Lord leads. So this summer, currently, I'm working with Athletes in Action, working with kids, for trying to bring the gospel to kids through sport, such as soccer and through various other sports and multi-sport games. So this has actually been super applicable. This sermon has been super applicable in my own life as of late. So I'm going to tell you the title of my message. So the title of my message is "Good Wisdom from God Results in Peace," and I'll be looking at James 3:13-18. So if you want to flip there, you can. Now, so picture in your younger years. Your younger years, maybe you'll remember playing with toys. You may have had dolls, you may have Barbies, you may have Lego, you had all these toys, you had a bunch of stuff you used, and you had all these toys out, but imagine you have your Lego out. Imagine it's there, you're playing with it, you're having lots of fun, and you have to go quickly do something. You have to maybe go to the washroom, maybe a friend invites you over, and you have to quickly go, and you leave it out, and you forget to clean it up. And later that night, you find yourself needing to go to the washroom. So you wake up, you go to the washroom, you're walking slowly, you're trying not to hit any walls, but you know the place pretty good. So you're just walking, and you step on that Lego and let out a loud shriek. Oof. Your parents are up, you're hurting. And this is kind of what I want to talk about today. It's kind of like, this is kind of what it looks like to God when we try and do things on our own, and what it looks like to have earthly wisdom. So today we're going to be talking about wisdom and what that looks like. So there are a few aspects of wisdom I'd like to cover in James 3. But the one big question we'll be looking at today is, how can you get this wisdom that comes from God, which leads to peace? That is a very key question in the lives of a lot of Christians. Peace is in a lot of people's lives. So, first point I'm going to make is godly wisdom. What does this look like? Second point I'm going to go over is, what does worldly wisdom look like? And we're going to compare the two. And the following point we'll do is worldly wisdom. Or, sorry, we're going to talk about what is the result of godly wisdom as our last point. So, godly wisdom versus earthly wisdom. The book of James is filled with this idea. But a major theme in the book of James is faith that works. This is not saying that we need works and deeds all the time, but it is saying we need faith to be shown in our deeds. But we'll keep this in mind as we look more into context as we go and dive deeper into this. So we see in James, as James is writing, he is the head of the church and he is in Jerusalem. He's writing to the church that is dispersed among the nations. We see in James 1:1, James 1:1, it says, "James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings." So this is important as we keep in mind who he's talking about, who he's talking to, And so we can apply this to our own lives. This is, we see that in this, he's talking to the Jewish Christians who are scattered among the nations. So turn with me to James 3, if you haven't yet, and we'll explore what it means to have godly wisdom and what it means to have earthly wisdom, and what are the results of both of them. So I'll be starting in James 3, verse 13. So who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by their deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. So this is the first verse I'm going to go for, and it says, so he starts off verse 13 with a question, who is wise and understanding among you? Concluding that not all of them look wise. Some of them look kind of foolish, and this is why he's writing this letter. Some of them looked like, we see in chapter 2, some of them looked like they were showing favoritism. Some of them were not living up to godly wisdom. Some of them were not relying on the Lord for wisdom. So what is the result of godly wisdom? If it doesn't look like favoritism, it doesn't look like all these things that James was addressing, then what does it look like? So wisdom can be defined as this: the soundness of an action or decision with regard to application of experience, knowledge, and good judgment. James actually explains this a little more when he says, prudent people will be known by their deeds. That's paraphrasing James 3:13. And James says to these people that their wisdom will be shown in their deeds and by their good life that they live. He says in the last part of the verse, he says, let them show it by their good life and by their deeds done in humility. Those who have wisdom show they have wisdom by their deeds. Those who have wisdom show humility because they have to humble themselves to get it. So I'll give you an example, an illustration to kind of further this. So last summer, I was working with concrete. I worked for my uncle, putting up forms, making concrete walls, putting foundations up. And one of the things that, I did, this was only for 4 months. So now if I said to the ministerial, oh, I'd like to head up a building project with 4 months of experience on concrete work and no other experience in any other field of building construction, they would look at me like I'm nuts. They would look for someone who's rather qualified, who has shown from their work that they have actually the experience. If the building falls down, obviously they wouldn't want me to do it. I don't have the qualifications of this. In the same way, the result of our deeds show our wisdom. Just like a building would show that a contractor is good at what he does and gets the right people involved. So godly wisdom will display humility, and humility that comes from God will display godly wisdom. So we need to ask God for both in order to actually get it. So the key question I asked before was, how do we get this godly wisdom? James 1:5 answers this question. So this is earlier when James is talking to the church. And he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously, without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So James also would have been looking at the book of Proverbs and his day in order to see, what does wisdom actually look like? So I'm gonna go to Proverbs as well, and we'll see what that looks like. So Proverbs 2, verse 3-6 says, indeed, if you cry out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look at it for as silver and search for it as if hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth, and comes knowledge and understanding. In order to get wisdom from these two things, you need to humble yourself under God and ask him for it. If you're not doing that, there is no other way to do it. If you're not doing that, this is the second point I'm going to be looking at. Earthly wisdom. So, to paraphrase, foolishness creates disorder and vile practices. So we're going to read verse 14 through 16 and see what does this look like. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Tension and disorder are often found in the people who have not asked the Lord for wisdom. They have not clinged to the promises of God. I once heard a wise man say, and I'm paraphrasing, we need to cling to the word of God so we might be able to overcome. Overcome what? Stress, worry, chaos. Overcome sin in your life. If we're not clinging to the word of God, how can we do that? If we're not praying and asking God for that, how can we do that? So in this passage, James is saying to those who are holding on to grudges, we see this in the next passage in James 4. He says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? So he's saying, there's chaos in your life. There's tension between the two of you. You guys don't look like you've asked the Lord for wisdom. You haven't shown it by your deeds done in humility, as seen in verse 13. We see in James 2, as we talked about before, that there was favoritism in the church. He was trying to explain to these people that did not have wisdom why these problems are happening. One example from my own life recently was when I felt tension and disorder or stress as I was preparing this sermon. The first time I went and tried to practice this sermon, I practiced. It felt like nothing was working. Felt like everything was going to go bad. And I was overlooking the whole point of this sermon. And God really pulled into my heart and said, you're missing the whole point. You're overlooking the whole deal. You're not relying on me for wisdom. You're relying on yourself. And just asking the Lord for wisdom gave me peace to know that I could do this and still have peace in my life. So whatever you need wisdom for, if that's parenting kids, whether that's doing your job, whether that's telling your coworkers about Jesus, he's got you. Jesus has got you. But if you find tension and disorder in your life, maybe ask the question, have I been asking the Lord for godly wisdom? Have I been in God's word? Have I been in communion with God lately? So disorder can be defined as this: a disruption of systematic function or a neat arrangement of. To reverse that and define order can be defined as a state in which everything is in its correct or appropriate place. God's order is the correct and appropriate place. A disruption of that is not wisdom. Disorder in verse 16 is considered every evil practice. It's considered selfish ambition. It's considered unspiritual and demonic. It's actually the opposite. Our wisdom is not wisdom. Our wisdom looks foolish. Just like in the beginning when I talked about that Lego that you left on the floor. It hurts. You're stepping on it. You're affecting others from that. Not asking God for godly wisdom doesn't just affect you, it affects others. You would have woken up your parents from that. You would have woken up your brothers and sisters from that. Not having godly wisdom and not asking for godly wisdom can affect others. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Who do they despise wisdom instruction through? Who? Sorry. Who do they despise wisdom instruction from? They despise from the Lord. So what is the result of ungodly wisdom? The result of ungodly wisdom is you find that there is not peace in your life. There is tension. There's disorder. Things aren't found in the proper order in your life that they should be. Your work maybe seems a lot more stressful because of it. Maybe your family life seems stressful because of it. We see in 1 Kings, Solomon was a man of great wisdom. We see that he was a man that gave his heart to the Lord when he was young and said, "Yes, Lord, I want wisdom." That's what he chose instead of any of the other riches. But later in his life, we see that he took foreign wives when he wasn't supposed to. He traded with Egypt and got horses when he wasn't supposed to. 1 Kings 11:11-12 says, "So the Lord said to Solomon, 'Since your attitude and you have not kept my decrees, which I commanded you, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your subordinates.'" Solomon had a chance and actually had the kingdom of Israel. He was wise. People came to him for his wisdom. But later on in his life, we see that he wasn't asking the Lord for wisdom. He wasn't continually spending time with the Lord. His eyes were off focus. So if you're seeing chaos and tension in your life, maybe your eyes are off focus too. And this can happen to all of us. So ungodly decisions result in chaos and tension in your life, meaning ungodly or earthly wisdom results in chaos and tension in your life. So the third point I want to make is this, and we're going to be looking at verse 17 through 18. So verse 17 to 18 says, "But wisdom that comes from heaven is first pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." Are we reaping a harvest of righteousness? Are we sowing in peace? One of the results of godly wisdom is reaping this harvest. Is sin in your life? Is there chaos and disorder? This wisdom is considerate and understanding because the person who has it is leaning on the Holy Spirit for their wisdom. We see that in Acts 4, verse 13, we see that Peter and John had realized that they needed the wisdom of the Lord. They proclaimed it boldly. And I'll just read it for you here. It says, "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled and ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus." If you're looking at your own life today and you see that there is tension, there is disorder, maybe you can look back to this verse and see, have I been spending time with Jesus? Do I know God's truths? Peter and John were no special men. They simply submitted themselves to God and had spent time with Jesus. And we see that they had the wisdom of God to know that they could proclaim boldly whatever it was, and they would not fear anyone. So the first application I'd like to make is this. Is spending the time with the Lord and asking for wisdom result in a peace without understanding? Spending time with God is key in order to actually getting wisdom, because we have to ask him for it, as James 1:5 said. Another application I want to make is this, and it's found in verse 17 through 18 and it says, you must be submissive. So in order to get wisdom, you must submit yourself to God. You must put yourself under God and ask him for it. So pray and ask God for wisdom. If you aren't seeking the Lord for wisdom, you cannot have wisdom. So ask him for it. This peace you will find is knowing that an omniscient God has complete control and he holds the world in his hands. This is the wisdom that is from God. Verse 17 says, those who have this wisdom are considerate of others. Just like in the beginning when I talked about the Lego, he said, those who may have cleaned it up would have been considerate of others even that. They would consider that, oh, this might actually hurt me later. And then submissive, if I went ahead and did that building project without the board's approval or simply did it, people would look at me like I'm foolish. So not submitting to God looks like utter foolishness. So in both cases, they are recognized by their fruit. Just as the disciples were recognized by their fruit. Just as Solomon was recognized by his fruit. People saw in Solomon's early years that he was wise without any limit. Later, we see that he wasn't, because he wasn't leaning on the Lord for wisdom. So seek God in your daily life. Spend time with him. Do you have a time set aside daily to ask God for wisdom, to ask God for peace, to ask him for joy? Are you looking to God for wisdom in Christ? Proverbs 1:3 explains this application really well. And it says, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior and doing what is right, just, and fair. So this is what wisdom is for. It's for doing what is right, just, and fair. Wisdom is not only for that, but it is also for peace. For not having this tension that feels like a headache every day. So if you're the mom who has chaos and stress in your life, if you're the student who has stress in your life because of assignments, if you are the businessman who is worried about his company surviving, if you just have stress in your life from anything, are you going to the Lord for wisdom? He was the one. He is the only one that can provide it. So the way we get peace and understanding is by spending time with Jesus and asking him and grounding yourself in the truth of God's word. So I'll close with this story. This last January, I had a leg injury. I had a knee injury which lasted, I think, 4 or 5 months. I was playing hockey and felt like it dislocated, and then it just kept progressively getting worse. I needed surgery. I couldn't do anything. So I was looking for a job, kept looking for a job, and I couldn't find anything where a summer job where I could actually do anything because I had this knee injury. Because I couldn't walk. I couldn't walk long enough, or even, I couldn't even walk 10 minutes, and it would already be sore. It felt like I was never going to get a job. Felt like I never was going to actually have this. There was a little bit of tension in my life. There was chaos. It was stressful. I was looking for a job. And God showed me that I needed to give it to him. Once I gave it to him, he filled my life with peace. And I want you guys to have that peace. So spend time with him. Read God's word, ground yourself in the truth, pray to him, ask him for wisdom. And now, God had a bigger plan. Now I'm working with Athletes in Action. I get to share the gospel weekly with kids I have a set time every Wednesday where I can share the full gospel with kids. And the Lord has blessed me with that. I'm so grateful for that. His ways were higher than mine. And I thought, through my earthly wisdom, I could do it. But only through God's wisdom, I could do it. So when we look to God for wisdom, ask him for it, we can have true peace. All right, let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you are the one who gives wisdom. Thank you that you are the one who is an awesome God who wants to have a relationship with each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that if anyone here has tension and chaos and stress in their life, that they would give that to you. They would ask for the godly wisdom, that they would ask for wisdom that only you can provide, which leads to peace in their life. Lord, may you just be working in the lives of these people. May you be working in my life through this. I pray this in your name. Amen.